What's up, everybody? Welcome to Mongols. I am Mike. With me is Justin and Josh. The Hounds played their first game of the season. We got ourselves a loss out in New Mexico, but it wasn't all terrible. But we'll get there. We got lots of things to discuss. First up, Justin, long time no see, man. How's it been?
I know. It has been forever. No, it's been good. Been a crazy winter and spring, but the U.S. soccer seasons have started again. It brings some normalcy to my Saturday nights, I guess. And yeah, things have been good.
I'm glad that you're here because we were kind of messaging each other during the game and you were just sort of like the voice of reason, like, it's a long season. Just keep it together. So you'll be able to temper sort of the temperature in the room here as Josh and I get going. So that's good.
Listen, I'm filling in for Kevin tonight. I got to do the work.
Josh, how you doing?
Good. Yeah. I mean, we had a watch party for this game at Bulldog, and it was a packed house. It was fun to see everyone again, kind of like getting the ball rolling. Saw a lot of new faces. A lot of new members joined up that day. Like, I think we had like 20 people join total. Wow. Which is crazy for a watch party. You know, it's just like just come out, hang out. And then it's like, oh crap, a lot of people want memberships. This is great. So yeah, met a lot of cool people and really just happy to have the season back. It felt great.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. We'll get to the point here later as one of the positives that I thought it had nothing to do with us, but the announced attendance in New Mexico was like 11,000 plus. And it just got me thinking, like, if this keeps snowballing in Pittsburgh, you know, we can fit a little over 5,000 at Highmark, like legally, but like, what would 11,000 look like? And it sounds like, you know, we're headed in that direction. So that's a good thing. Let's just get into the game, guys. So I mentioned it was a 1-0 loss. First game of the season. I think we all went in with kind of zero expectations. As we kind of do early in any season, we have no idea what this team is going to look like. The starting lineup, and guys, you know, feel free to speak up if you feel that I was seeing this differently, but as with any Lily team, the formation seemed to be somewhat fluid and moving around. But for the most part, it seemed like we had Deeney and Kizza up top. Then you had a midfield that for the most part felt like Mertz and Forbes were a little bit further up the field. You had Walty sort of in the middle as like the holding mid position with Rovi and Etu sort of making the runs out wide. And then you had three at the back with DeShields, Griffin, and Osumanu with Dick in goal. I think the biggest surprise, like air quote surprise, because we saw some of this in the preseason, was Griffin at center back. So let's just start there. Justin, do you think that this is something, or do you think that this is Lily trying to fill holes until we have sort of a full center back core? Or what's your read on the Griffin situation? Captain Griffin.
The captain feels good. I don't know that I was, definitely wasn't shocked to see it, I guess. I was surprised when I went to look at the Hounds report of this game that Griffin did in midfield, because it didn't feel like, at least for the first half, that's where he played. The second half, I did feel like he stepped up into the midfield more, and I'm wondering if that's going to turn into the Tommy V play where you want on the back line sort of situation. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised because they're similar players and they've got a similar style of play. So I don't know that I'm surprised if that's not where he kind of ends up, but more as a Tommy V center back than what he was playing for the first half, at least on Saturday night.
Josh, did you have any thoughts seeing Deeney roaming around in our end of the field?
I think the Tommy V shout is a good one. I also can kind of see that, but also I don't know how much stock to put into this lineup. Like, I don't think this is what we're going to be seeing constantly. Like, I don't know. It we'll talk about when we talk about the forwards, but like we didn't have everyone on in the lineup that we you know have signed. I got a feeling Sterling's going to make a big difference here. I know that he's technically still having visa issues, not issues, but like it's just taking a while. So like they had to like fly him out of the country to get him back into the country, and that was, you know, I think Bob said during the meet the players thing, like 60% chance that he'll be here for this game. Well, apparently did it work out, so not a huge surprise. But because of stuff like that, and just like I think Hogan also had a knock. I'm not saying like Hogan would have been in that position, but you just, I don't know what to expect from the lineup. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a one-off type of lineup.
I think I made the comment to you guys late in the game, sort of over under, you know, 10 games from now, how many of these players from the starting 11 are we even going to remember like 10 games from now? Cause that seems to be, you know, typical of a Lilly system. You try out some guys, there's guys that you see in the off season that you have high hopes for. And then all of a sudden you forget that they were ever in the team in the first place. And I think a lot of these guys, I mean, a lot of these guys are returning players. Walty, it sounds like, you know, Lily's a huge fan of. So I don't think anyone's going to really drop out entirely. But, you know, you might see guys become more bench guys than starters. So we'll see. I think if it is a strategic thing, it could be interesting. You know, Justin, to your point about sort of the Tommy Vanchia role, I think that some of the tactical stuff that you're seeing elsewhere in the world is you're seeing more and more coaches trying to find center backs that can make passes that sort of cut through the lines. So last year we had a lot of cases where our center backs would sort of, they'd get the ball and they'd immediately pass it to sort of a holding midfielder who would then turn and try to distribute from there. But if you have somebody, it's a center back that can skip that line and make passes that are further up the field, then you can launch attacks more quickly. Danny might be that guy that can make those longer passes and be more of a threat from that position. That said, it was clear that this was sort of his first professional game playing center back because he was kind of all over the place and sort of slipping, and you could see the other guys trying to cover for him. And again, it's your first game playing at center back. So like, I can't really fault the guy. You know, I still think that his best position is further upfield. When he first came back from Nashville last year, we had him playing almost as like a number 10 or a second striker, and he was doing all sorts of damage. So I think it's great that we have him. Now it's just a matter of where is Lilly going to, you know, try to fit him in and sort of build a system around him. And I think that'll be interesting to sort of watch moving forward. In terms of other players, things that were interesting, it looked like, you know, we did kind of stick to the three at the back. You know, Justin, you alluded to when we were chasing the game a little bit. We put Biasi in as almost a center back. I think we had Suber in as almost a center back that pushed Griffin further up the field, which was interesting. Like at that point, there was literally a moment where we were chasing the game and the ball rolled out for a goal kick for them. And it was Griffin who picked up the ball and put it down for their keeper, Tambakis, to actually take the goal kick to keep the game moving. So Griffin was much further up the field. I thought that having Biasi back in, you know, he was another one, I think, last year that we were like, why are we bringing him back? And he kind of showed what he was made of last year out wide. And I think both him and the Shields are sort of big bodies, and or I'm sorry, Blackstock. They both came in sort of the middle of the field and were kind of like knocking things around. What else did you guys see? You know, Justin, who else did you sort of, who else caught your eye? Anything impress you or not impress you about this game?
Yeah, it was interesting because like as Laurel and I were talking about, like, we had just run an errand real quick on the way back. Like, I feel like I have nothing interesting to say about this game. I don't know that it was that bad. It's hard to like, I feel like if it was bad, I would have been able to go like, that was a terrible game from the Hounds, and I would have been able to pick stuff out. But I all like the game was that bad. I just didn't feel like it was that good. So I felt like it was, for the majority of it, forgettable, I guess, in some ways. But I will say I did like Dick in net. I felt like he was, for a first game with an entirely new center back crew, all of that kind of stuff, like, well done. I mean, you know, he got scored on a one-on-one chance, but you're going to give those up, you know, fairly often if you're in those one-on-one situations. But I thought his distribution, his just kind of presence on the field was real, real good throughout the game. You know, thought one for the first game.
Agreed. Quick shout out to all of our listeners and watchers in Orange County. We got a lot of people checking in, apparently doing the scouting report for their game this week. So hello, everyone out in Orange County. Josh, what caught your eye in this one?
I mean, the shout out for Eric Dick is a good one because, I mean, he got player of the game for the Hounds for a reason. This game could have been easily more egregious. I feel like he had some pretty great saves that kept us in it longer than we probably deserved to be in it for the way the defense was going there for a little bit. But I agree. This game wasn't one where I felt like, you know, everything's on fire. Oh my God, this is terrible. Like going into this game, I kind of expected the worst. I was just like, okay, this is a West Coast team. We had to travel, first time playing a pro game for these guys together. It's going to be a sloppy game. It's not going to be great. I went in expecting that, and that's what we got. I was kind of hoping that the opposing side would have more issues, but New Mexico didn't, and they were able to keep it together. I didn't do too much research on New Mexico before this game. I don't know like how much of their team's returning and all that, but I mean, it's a home game, season opener. You have that crowd, you have that energy. You're gonna, you know, have momentum. So it was a uphill battle before we even got on the field. So I'm not that surprised.
Let me ask you guys both. You know, I felt the same way. It was just kind of like, okay, first game. Now we can't say anymore that it's the first game of the season. Travel out west. Cool. How many games until you start to get nervous about what you're seeing? I know we traditionally say we don't look at the standings until 10 games in. But, you know, we have a home game against Orange County this weekend. If things don't improve, if we don't see, you know, I think one of the biggest things we can talk about here in a second was our complete lack of attack. You know, we basically, they kept Kizza and Dieni just out wide. There was nothing through the middle. Our best chances were corner kicks. That was it. So if we don't see an improvement there, Justin, are you at all starting to worry a little bit? Or are you still just like, it's too early?
Not at this point. I mean, I think, I don't want to get too far ahead in the notes and steal some of your stuff, but I thought, I thought Emmanuel Johnson looked great and could be a really good body on that, you know, in that part of the field. Who knows what Sterling's going to bring. And so I don't put a lot of stock in not having an attack in this game. I'm kind of the same. Then we'll see how we're doing. You know, if it goes by 3 or 4 weeks and we're still seeing the same stuff, then I maybe start a little bit nervous. I know that that's kind of the Bob Lilly way, is like start slow, kind of build from there, finish strong. And so I did think, you know, kind of as soon as the game ended, I was a little bit frustrated. Kind of even Sunday morning, you know, waking up, I was like, that wasn't that bad. I mean, there were definitely some bright spots. Like you said, I thought Beck looks good as well. And so I think it's just figuring out its cohesion and its chemistry. Hey, where are these players going to be on the field and all that kind of stuff. There were just a lot of, to Josh's point about a sloppy game, there's just a lot of passes to nobody, a lot of passes there. And it was like, all right, well, maybe you expected them to be there, but that's not, you know, maybe last year it would have been there, but that's not the person that's there. So you got to figure out where they're going to be on the field and you got to figure it out. So. You know, even if we lose to Orange County this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liz mentioned it in the chat. Like the first 15 or so minutes of this game did feel very exciting. I did think it looked like, you know, we are bringing the pressure, coming out strong. And then I would even say like the last like 10, 15 minutes of this game also felt pretty exciting. Like the Hounds were pushing for it. You saw, you know, Mexico get like 3 yellow cards in pretty fast order. And it did feel like they were going for it, which was nice to see. It wasn't like we were just kind of leaving the stadium before the game even ended. You know what I mean? Like that could have easily happened. And maybe they would have got a second goal or something like that. It would have been a lot more deflating, but the guys still pushed for it. As far as like, when do you start panicking? It's too early to, you know, talk about that obviously, but I do think a home game is a lot different than an away game, especially a West away game. If it seems pretty flat on Saturday, I will be concerned, especially if we have our full roster there and it feels flat. Not panicking, but definitely like, you know, you don't want to see, especially home opener, you want to see the team show up. And that's when they need to show up. And even if it's a scrappy game, I expect a win on Saturday. So
calling it out early. I like it.
It's the first game of the season. I first podcast of the actual season. I forget how we're supposed to do this.
Yeah.
I was supposed to hold that back, right?
Yeah. I thought the one, you know, going into this game sort of with the same mentality as we're all discussing now and not having super high expectations, I was just kind of trying to keep an eye out for like little bright spots, and the bright spots didn't necessarily have to be, you know, amazing crosses into the box or getting fantastic shots off, but just sort of consistency. I thought Mertz looked pretty good, all things considered. I thought, you know, he looked back to the level that he looked early last season before his injury. So I think that's promising, to have somebody like him, you know, back to marauding up top. It will be interesting to sort of see how everything shakes out over the next few weeks, for sure, as we try to rotate people in and try to get, you know, players time and fill things out. So, I'm the same. It's just kind of like, okay, it was a game. Like I said, we can no longer say that we haven't had our first game yet. We've had our first game. As we've been saying, you know, on to Orange County. Guys, anything else about this game in particular that you either want to speak good or badly about?
I am very, if there is concern, my concern is obviously in the attack, which I think we knew that going into this game and going into the season. Losing Dequa, Kizza, you know, doing what he can, but it's not there. And the only bright spot I have right now is remembering watching Sterling in the preseason and how not only did he look like he could take a shot and like was accurate, but also just his distribution and able to get other players open by drawing them out and then getting that pass through to them. So I wouldn't be surprised if our goals on Saturday do come from Kizza, from Sterling's distribution.
Interesting. That was not the way I thought you were going with that.
No. I honestly do think he will let the rest of them play more and get more opportunities.
It's interesting. There have been a couple of pundits across the USL that have been saying that Sterling coached by Lily is going to be a very scary thing. Like guys who have watched him play in League One.
Who was our star that ended up just fizzling out? I can't remember his name now. It's always escaping me.
Crap. I can picture him. We paid a lot of money. He was supposed to score goals and then didn't happen. That's who you're talking about.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah,
not Herzog, the other one.
Dane Kelly.
Yeah. Dane Kelly. I that's my only, like, I'm just like kind of like nervously sitting here like, am I putting all my eggs in this basket? We've done this before and it did not turn out well. So, but I think this is a different situation than Dane Kelly. Dane Kelly was like more going the opposite direction, like coming down almost. And whereas I feel like Sterling, you know, played in League One before this and is coming up. So
yeah. Go ahead, Justin.
So it has nothing to do with the Hounds, but I'm really glad that the USL is moving to non baseball fields. Number two, ESPN Plus has got to figure out their crap. Like, This is what happens when you don't broadcast preseason games, right audio on the right game. And whatever. But it actually was pretty impressive. I think it was like 3 minutes into the game, Kenny was taking a corner, and the audio was like, Las Vegas has a corner here. Like, and that
right.
Like, the same thing was happening in both games. Plus. And so it was just, it was a little bit disappointing, kind of turning on the TV. And like, you know, after watching Premier and then watching the first couple MLS games, just seeing how bad the field, the camera, and the audio and everything else. If USL could figure out how to get their, you know, the quality of all of that up, it could be an amazing product. And it is. In other you think about what Lynn Family Stadium and other places around the league are, like, it is an impressive product some places around the league. I'm glad the league is kind of forcing us to move that direction too.
It's also just weird because, like, the audio wasn't wrong for the local broadcast. Like, it was, we were watching it at the pub, and it was right. So you would think, like, it's just surprising that they got those wires mixed somewhere else, because I thought they always just, like, pipe in the local broadcast, and that's all they're doing. So the fact that they somehow managed to screw up the audio is just beyond me, because it's not like it happened farther down the stream. I mean, it happened farther down the stream, obviously, than the actual broadcast itself, because they were showing up fine for us at the bar. We had the sound on. Sounded great.
Yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, for those who watched on ESPN Plus, essentially what happened was for the first 3, 4, 5 minutes, we were watching the Hounds play New Mexico, but all of the audio was from Memphis versus Vegas. And so, you know, you could have switched over to I don't know if the audio was doing the opposite on the other side. I didn't switch over the other stream because I wanted to watch the Hounds play. But it was a bit embarrassing considering that these were the only two games the USL had going at that time. They were the, like, first two games of the season, and ESPN just kind of dropped the ball with it. And I thought, you know, leading up to these games that all the promotional stuff the USL was putting out was all good. It felt like it was a bit more than last year. So it feels like everything's heading in the right direction. And then, like, that happened, and it was just like, oh, okay. Like, this is still the USL, unfortunately.
How do you even, like, okay, not the audio. I understand the audio was terrible, but, like, your first games of the season, and you put your best foot forward by showing off New Mexico's janky stadium with, like, brown turf over top of, you know, the baseball dirt. Like, I don't, why do that?
Agreed.
Harumph.
Yeah. Justin mentioned that basically all of the stadiums are moving away, or all of the teams are starting to move away from baseball stadiums. There was a press conference with the president of Championship and League One this week. I attended that, and that was one of the things they said, was that their goal is by 2026 to have every team playing in a soccer-specific stadium. Which would be great, because, I mean, Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's still MLS teams playing in baseball stadiums, right? New York specifically. I know they're talking about a stadium.
Just NYCFC. That's the only team that's playing there still,
I think. So, that will be good. We've talked for years. You know, Louisville used to be the worst, and then they got Lynn Family Stadium, which has been a huge selling point for the league, and, like, we enjoy watching those games now. So, glad to see that that's happening. In terms of other news coming from the league, most of the other stuff was just what you would expect. There wasn't really any news coming out of there. There were a lot of people trying to press them to say that, you know, USL is the most legit soccer league now because of what's going on with the Open Cup and MLS. And of course, you know, the presidents of the leagues weren't going to say that. So take that for what you will. But yeah, I thought, you know, the other thing is that we often come on this show, and one of the first things that we complain about is the officiating. One of the things that the presidents did announce during that press conference was the fact that the situation with the MLS and pro contracts and all of that would not affect the officiating setup in USL at all, which is a positive. And I thought the officiating was actually pretty good in this game. Like, typically we'll come in and there's, you know, at least a handful of calls that were like, what was that? Both ways, I thought the ref did a good job of, you know, letting the game play on and calling the game back whenever, you know, something happened. So hopefully that continues, because, you know, I feel like we spent just an inordinate amount of time talking about the refs last year, and I don't want to do that again this year. So,
yeah, it could have been better.
All right, fine. Anything else on this game, gentlemen?
After watching MLS, Josh, I'm not sure it could have been better. But
yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair. Well,
listen, the Premier League's been rough this year too. So yeah. All right. So in general, we already kind of talked about the temperature and sort of how we're feeling about things. I think it's nobody is heading for the hills just yet. It's let's see how things go. Obviously, big game this weekend, Saturday, at home, Highmark Stadium. Looks like it's going to be a packed house, which is great. You never can really know in these early March games because the weather is always going to be a factor. I mean, literally yesterday, we had a freak blizzard out of nowhere that dropped like 2 inches on the ground, and then it's going to be 70 degrees tomorrow. So really not knowing what's going to happen. Josh, you mentioned we got All Hounds Eve coming up. So what are the details for that? Tell everybody what's going on with that.
6 p.m. at the pitch on Butler, the new soccer pub in Lawrenceville.
On Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Day before, so kind of a new tradition we're getting off the ground. Been wanting to do it for a while now, but yeah, All Hounds Eve, pretty much just a reason to come together before the home season opener and hang out. We'll have merch there for the Steel Army memberships. You can pick up your membership. There's going to be some guest appearances. Nothing we're going to put on paper yet, but expect to recognize some people at the game or at the pub.
If I guess, will you tell me?
Me not on air. I won't. Because I don't want to promise anyone they don't show up. Be like, you know, you never know. Young guys sometimes forget about things. Gotcha. So don't want to promise anyone. But yeah, and there are actually, I can't say that, like, some of the front office is going to be there as well to show up, kind of let off some steam before going into the crazy home opener. I'm sure all of them will enjoy a night out before the craziness on Saturday. So yeah, I'm excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm hoping people love it and we keep it going year after year, because yeah, this was one of the things I've been wanting to do for a while.
I was going to say, you've been talking about wanting to do this for at least, it feels like, 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, it was like an idea. Then COVID happened, and that kind of put it like a damper on it. And then it's like, well, this year, like, the home opener is on like a Wednesday or something like that. Like, it was always like a weird day. So it's like, well, let's not do it this year because I don't want to do a weekday. And so, yeah, finally got to the point where it was the right game, right time.
It's a good thing, I guess, that, you know, Ariana's the new Steel Army president could make it happen, because clearly you couldn't. And so, you know.
Yep, Ariana, good job.
So that's going on Friday night to get everybody together, partying. Obviously, St. Patrick's Day parade and all of the craziness Saturday morning. What time is tailgate Saturday?
Saturday, the Steel Army is advertising 12 p.m. tailgate time. I'm probably not rolling in until 2 p.m. So merch will not be available until 2 p.m. But yeah, 12 p.m. Get there early, hang out. Depending on the weather, you know, it could be a great time. So
yeah,
I haven't looked at the weather. Do we know what's supposed to, like, what's it looking like right now? I feel like it changes every day, so I don't like look until like,
oh, I never look until like the day before. I am currently seeing partly sunny, high 56.
So not diggity. That's awful. That's perfect.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yes. Yeah, that's about as good as we can hope for. So, yeah, it should be great.
And the giveaway from the Hounds is going to be some player shield pennants. I didn't see if there's a cap on like first X number of people in the stands.
I think it's 1,000. I think so, they have 1,000 of them. Okay. So they better than the 500. Yeah.
And they will have what it looked like, Shamrock colored collectible cups and stuff that you can get once you're in the pub. And
I'm excited for the pennants. I think obviously Hounds haven't won jack until recently, so yeah. This has never happened. I'm like, sweet, gotta get one of those, the first ever league trophy.
So our opponent this weekend will be Orange County, who also played this weekend. They got a 2-2 draw against Sacramento. Sacramento, who is a team that it just seems like perennially everyone just expects to sort of be top of the West. It's kind of like Louisville out East. So to get a 2-2 draw in what sounded like it was an exciting match, sort of they came back late to sort of to tie Orange County came back late to tie it up. So it's a good showing. I'm kind of torn on what to expect in this one, because we could revert to, you know, classic Lily, where it's just shut it down and we just lost. So you're going to pick up points no matter what, you know, point of the year it is. So you kind of just play shutdown defense. And if you get a goal, great. But otherwise, you're going for that point just to right the ship. But we've also seen, at least in the past year, that there's pressure to put on a show at Highmark. So it could be the opposite. And the guys come out swinging. Justin, what are your thoughts? How do you think the Hounds are going to approach this one?
I do think they seem to come out swinging. I think part of that, we've seen Lily do that at other times. I can think about an opener against Louisville, where they came out and kind of tried to burn, kind of silence the crowd. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this game is another one of those, like, hey, so let's go out and try to get a goal in the first 15, 20 minutes, make it, you know, and then see what happens from there. And so you got to be careful not to give up anything early. But you can't sit back and just do that. So I think you just got to be careful, try to play possession, keep the ball, and then see if you can nick a goal at some point quick to get the crowd in stuff. But hopefully the guys will be playing off the energy of the crowd, and hopefully it'll be a big crowd that gives the guys a bunch of energy and all. Do you think they'll come out with, you know, and at least try to push for the first 10 or 15 minutes and just see what happens?
Josh, what do you think? Do you think that Lily will be a bit more conservative, or you think we're going to come out high flying?
I don't think so. I think conservative is kind of the name of the game. Like, I don't know if you can really expect anything other than that from Lily and from the team. You know what I mean? But conservative doesn't mean boring. It doesn't mean that they're going to not go for a goal. I just don't imagine, like, we're going to be pressing forward and, like, having a situation where they're slipping in behind us, because, yeah, that's just not the way Lily sets up his teams. So,
you guys weren't here last week. So Laura Ellen sort of had collected all of our season predictions, and one of them was, will Fort Highmark essentially be Fort Highmark of last year? So I think last year we had two losses all season, something like that. You know, over under 3.5 losses at Highmark this season. Josh, are you taking the over or the under?
I feel like saying 3 losses sounds pretty good still. Like,
it definitely sounds good. Yeah, I agree.
I'm just saying, like, 4 losses in this 3.5, let's say.
Yeah.
If we were at 4 losses, I would still be pretty happy. So,
yeah.
How many home games do we have? Like 14, 13?
Yeah.
But yeah, over, but not by like a lot. It's not like it's going to be a sieve. But I feel like expecting the same thing we got last season, and last season was just a special year, and I don't want our standard to now be like, not as good as last year. Obviously, we suck. Like, that's not where we're at. Yeah. So I would be happily fine with 4 losses.
Justin, do you agree? You taking the over-under on 3.5 losses?
I don't know that's hard pretty much to this team. I don't think Bob loses. No, I just don't know that we lose that many. That being said, like, I'd be okay with 4. I would love to say 3 is kind
of, yeah.
If you need to pull more draws out, then that's fine. Like, pull the draws out that you need to. But it also kind of depends what you do on the road. Like, if you have 4 at home and take that all day, take that every day. But if you, you know, if you give up 10, you have 10 losses on the road, and not going to be that great. So kind of depends what the overall form of the team is.
Yeah. Before we do our score predictions on this game, just one thing that I wanted to point out was, we talked a little bit about at what point do you worry about this team? I think it's, we've all said it was one game. Nobody's worrying yet. But, you know, we have Orange County at home this weekend. The following weekend, we are in Louisville. And then the week after that, we have Tampa at home. Now, Louisville and Tampa did not play this week. So we just sort of assume that they're always kind of on their game and they're going to be tough teams, but they have not played their first game yet. They will play their first game this week. And then, you know, we will have a better sense of that from there. But all three of those teams are top teams to be facing. You know, I don't know, like, even after those, after these four games, we could realistically be in a position where we have, I sort of put an over under on 4.5 points over the next three games. I don't know what I'm taking and I don't know how I'm feeling after that. I mean, imagine, okay, so let's say that we beat Orange County, but then we struggle, and that's for all of you Orange County fans out there, that's not like a hard assumption. We're going to get to predictions here in a second, but let's say that we win at home, but then we lose to Louisville and Tampa. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling. It could go the other way too, but it's just,
I'm not scared of Louisville or Tampa. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like Louisville is Louisville anymore. And I'm just not worried. I don't know if that's just, you know, being a little bit, you know, dismissive of Louisville, but I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's Louisville. I feel like, you know, Louisville of old is not the same Louisville. So whatever.
All right. Josh calling the shot. I like it. Justin, how are you feeling about these next three games?
I mean, just taking a quick peek, you know, at the standings from last year, 1 East and 2 and 8 in the West. So all playoff teams, like, I don't know. I'm just not with, you know, with it being Louisville and Tampa, yeah, I'm probably with Josh a little bit. I think Louisville's lost a little bit of their, like, or is, like, the hardest team to beat. But you are playing them away. And so it is nice that we've got the two second-place teams from last year at home. And so we're playing, you know, we're playing those teams at home. But I don't know that I'm that worried. I think, you know, I think the going to another team that I follow, the Union, have had some seasons, the first six or seven games you're going, what in the world? And then it's like a thing flips for them and then they play well the rest in. And so, you know, if you get through these games and you've got 4 points, I don't know that I'm freaking out yet. It depends how you get those 4 points. You know, if you're beating Orange County 3-0 this weekend and they come back and score 3 goals and you draw there, then I go, that's not a good draw. But if you're fighting the whole game and it's a 1-1 scrappy game, then all right, cool. So I'm just not going to get on any real hard train until June or July as far as what needs to do or need to do.
I think that's fair. I think this weekend is going to be the real litmus test, right? I mean, we all sort of said, okay, traveling out west, first game of the season, you know, new guys trying to gel, first game with the Hounds, all of that, great. Now we're at home and we're playing a team that's coming from out west. So, like, this is a completely different scenario, one in which we had a lot of success with last year. So if things don't go well on Saturday, then I think there's going to be many more questions asked. That said, I think to your guys' point, I think Highmark is going to be rocking. The guys absolutely feed off of that. You know, Dick has already come out and said that he's looking forward to the atmosphere and playing in front of the Steel Army. So I think that's all going to have an impact. So I'm not concerned. And I put on here sort of the over under at 4.5 points of the next three games. I'm not willing to make that call either. Cause I think to Liz's point, you know, how could we possibly know without seeing the play? Like, how can we, you know, we haven't seen Louisville. We haven't seen Tampa. We haven't seen any of them. I think that there is some, we know that there are some organizations that ultimately know how to produce talent. The Hounds are one of them. But we've also had our ups and downs. So we'll just have to sort of wait and see. And losing the Golden Boot winner and losing the Defender of the Year is going to have an impact. It's just a matter of how do we handle that, and how do we come out the other side in a positive. So I think seeing Sterling this weekend would be kind of cool, and sort of see what that impact is. That could reset a lot of opinions.
Our goal is to make Orange County of 2024 feel like Orange County of 2022. That's our goal.
You're just poking the fans now, man. You know they're there, and you're just coming out for them.
Yep. Yeah, that was actually. Yeah.
You'll have to I'm like wink wink nod nod, if Jeff Gardner is there for All Hounds Eve, ask him about his how he's feeling about his former club coming to town, and I'm sure he'll be all hounds, but he might have some actual like constructive thoughts on how this game might shake out based on his history there. So
yeah, he always looks forward to this one. Like the last year, he was all about it, and yeah, so I'm sure he'll have a lot of choice words about it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Andy King, Orange County fan, comes swinging back. What difference does it ultimately make if the Riverhounds are just going to lose in the playoffs? You know, Andy, we ask ourselves that all the time. So like, you're not actually hurting us at all. We're kind of in your court on that one. So I guess we'll find that out as we get there. I think we did as part of our predictions was how deep are the Hounds actually going to make it into the playoffs? I don't think anybody said win it all. I think it was like, if we get to the second round, that'd be great because we really struggle in the first. So regardless, it should be a fun game. I'm very happy that the USL is back. I was kind of like, Justin, to your point, spending all winter watching the Premier League, I was kind of like, okay, like here comes the USL. But there's something about watching the guys on a baseball field and like crappy audio, and that you're just like, okay, like, yeah, this is what it is. And did you guys, we didn't talk about the kits. How'd you think the yellow kits looked on camera?
Yeah, I think that they look great. That's my favorite kits that we like, not like forever or ever we've ever had, but yeah. I definitely think these kits are really good. They're reminiscent of the ones we had last year as far as the yellow and gray. I kind of dig the yellow and gray, actually.
Yeah. Justin, any thoughts on the kits?
Yeah, I thought they looked, I actually did think they looked real good. Didn't like in the initial phase, but I think on the field they play really, really well. They look classy, new, you know, newness to them as well. So definitely really like them.
Agreed. Josh, a question from Andy. If the Riverhounds lose, what is the over under on how long Bob keeps the lads on the pitch for a butt chewing? You have the most experience with this.
Yeah, as
it's early in the season, what are your thoughts?
With the Steel Army always having to wait until he's done, so that way they can come over and, you know, do the high fives and all that kind of stuff. I bet you it's a home opener, so maybe he'll be a little bit more lean just because he knows everyone's there. So
kids on the field, all of that.
Yeah. He doesn't care about the kids on the field. Let the kids wait. That's Bob's opinion. I would say 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay.
I think they lose by a lot. If it's just like a, you know, 1-0 or something like that. Actually, no. 20 minutes, no matter what.
I was going to say the manner of the loss could, because it sounded like after the WVU game, he was there for a while. I don't necessarily see that happening in the home opener. So hopefully it's not too late. But why are we talking about a loss? The Hounds are going to win. Guys, we didn't do our predictions. We got to do score predictions here. Justin, give me a score prediction for this one.
Give me 2-1 Hounds.
2-1 Hounds. I like it. Josh.
I was going to say 2-1 as well. Hounds.
I'm going to say 3-0. After having no offense, something is going to click. And Dick is going to give us a scare because we're going to think that he's injured because he's coming out and attacking it and he's going to collide with somebody. So that's my prediction. But he'll be okay. Best
prediction. Wow.
That's right, man. We're going deep. We're going deep. So that's what we think. Let us know what you think. Guys, obviously, as we said, tons going on this weekend with All Hounds Eve and St. Patrick's Day and tailgate and like free stuff at the gate. And I think the Steel Army sent out earlier today the ticket map for Highmark, and basically everything is gone. There's a few seats, so don't give up if you're still interested, especially in the supporter section. That's always blue. They just leave that open. Whoever wants to go can go stand and cram in there like sardines. But yeah, make sure you get your tickets. Make sure you get down there for the home opener. It's going to be rocking. The food looks amazing. They've been sharing all sorts of stuff on social media about the food they're going to have. So yeah, really good stuff. Guys, anything else for this one that we should talk about?
I can't wait to be back at Highmark Stadium. It's just going to be great.
TIFO?
That's telling. Yes.
I wasn't going to ask what the TIFO will be.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
TIFO. Cool, cool. Okay.
Yeah, I won't get there till May, but excited to get there and just excited that USL's back.
Yeah. Agreed. I also will not be there this weekend. My son is, I think we talked about this. Maybe? Yeah. Musical, but that wraps up next weekend and then things start to free up. So we will be there, Justin, when you guys are there in May. We'll have like a big Mongols party. We're going to try to get to a game or two before that as well. So I will let y'all know and you guys can come say hello. And yeah, otherwise, enjoy the festivities this weekend. Go Hounds. All you Orange County fans can go somewhere. And yeah, Ammo the Bobblehead says we will talk to you very, very soon.
Later.
Later.